Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hear ye, it's week 4 of the NFL season, and we're basically a bunch of Willy Wonkas on this on the show today. We're giving away 4 tickets to the Underdog Super Dog Bowl is what it is. It's a live final there in Miami. Right. Yeah, I mean, this is what they get, right? So the Dog Bowl in Miami, the qualifier, we're going to be drafting a Dog Bowl qualifier on here. We're also still going to be going through positions. We're going to get the guys thoughts on this week, and also Pete. I've got some words for Pete. So stick around. It's a Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
Can you see the static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I've put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro. Live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
All right, welcome to the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. David Kitchen, a.k.a. Soccer Dave, a.k.a. Willy Wonka today. Again, each of us giving away tickets to this Underdog Dog Bowl. I want to call it the Puppy Bowl, but it's not. It's the Dog Bowl. So with that being said, guys, how's it going? Davis, we'll start with you.
You know, it's going good. I'm trying to wash the shame off myself of playing a 38% owned Josh Kelly in tournaments last week. You can get a lot of things right, but when you play 38% on Josh Kelly, you just got to eat it. You got to wear your dunce cap. So I'm wearing the dunce cap this week.
Yeah, man. Last week was another brutal week. I will say this. It was good for the best ball teams. And that was what I was clinging to by the end of the day. And that's how you know it was a bad DFS day. Tuttle, fresh off the UCL and soccer projections, tennis projections. Saw the guy was doing tennis projections at 10 p.m. at night for like a midnight slate. I mean, just grinding out here. Tuttle, how's it going?
It's going all right. You know, I'm a company man now. So
yep.
I do what Better Collective wants me to do.
Right.
Last week, like you said, I was too busy name matching. I mean, there's guys like João Pedro that play soccer, right? But FanDuel decides they need to list their whole name, like João Pedro de Albuquerque, de Hernandez, Francis, and things like that. And so I was spending my time willingly and glowingly and just loved doing it, matching his name to FanDuel so that he would be in our optimizer for UCL. Don't have to do that this week. Probably have to do it again next week. So that'll be fun.
And speaking of next week, I also will not be on the show. Yes, it will be in the land of Mickey Mouse. Hope that no one recognizes me again this time, because it's really awkward for me and my family when fans come up to me at Disney World. So,
oh, you're not just, I thought it was just you and Britt Devine who are gone.
No, it's me and the fam. And if you see me, please come up, say hey, and I will get the picture this time. Pete, how's it going?
I was doing good, was really excited for this show. And then I heard that you had words for me, and now I'm kind of shaking in my boots in anticipation.
Yeah, I have a few words. You know, this is a forward thinking show, but on the close your eyes experiment, who last week was?
Probably some dusty old veteran who's massively probably outperforming expectations.
It was Adam. Adam Thielen is who it was. Before that, it was the dusty old James.
Did you play
Connor.
Him, Kitchen?
What's that? I did play him. Did you play him? I did. He didn't do anything for my lineup because I didn't have any Vikings in there. Any Dolphins in there. But that's what was so frustrating about last week. And then on FanDuel, 53% of people had like Mostert in cash, and he wasn't even really a consideration for me. And so even though I chose right on like the other plays, it didn't even matter. Fish got there with Mostert. So
was it fishy to play Mostert?
You tell me.
I mean,
you're the Gill Cast King. I don't think it was fishy. It was just like when you can make like four mistakes and that one person covers all those mistakes, it's not fishy. It's just that like when you play other fish moves, Mostert covers all those.
But a guy scores so many points that it doesn't matter what the 2v2 is. The other side of the 2v2 could add zero and it doesn't matter. Sure. I get it.
It could be a 3v3. Yeah. And then the other two are dead. But if you get the guy with the 50 burger, it just covers so much ground. So, that's kind of how it was last week. Where are you guys kind of on these offenses now that we have 3 weeks of data?
It'd be really nice if the Chiefs had a good wide receiver. Would just be it feels like everything. I mean,
If only they knew this was an issue.
It feels like to me the story of this season is going to be the story of the old David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell seasons, where team jam them in is returning, where Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill are the team jam them ins, and there are going to be a lot of weeks where you are excluded from winning if you don't have one of them.
Yeah, and this week, Pete, we have Miami and Buffalo.
Yep.
So are you going to be fading that game theory?
Haven't seen what the ownership projections are yet. I haven't put on my gal brain hat quite here, but I'm a new man. You know, I played a Vikings double stack and just the chalkiest of all chalk dusty stacks last week. So who knows? Maybe I'll just eat some more.
Was that sim-fluenced?
Yeah. A lot of this is covered in the Overzets overview too, just by the way.
You know what? Let's just go ahead and get into it with today's Overzets overview.
Got that dog in a butt. Got that dog in a butt. Overzets overview. Come on.
Wow, Rob
monetized.
Put in the work. Updated Overzets overview. You love to see it. I'm feeling hyped. Hyped. Everyone here should be hyped too. We're starting 30 minutes earlier today and going forward. The premier first look show will now have an extra 30-minute head start on all of the other lazy DFS operations out there who wait until later in the week to dive into a game that is heavily dependent on injuries, practice reports, and news. So the Swolecast will always have you covered now 30 minutes earlier. Thank God Tuttle is back, so we don't have to stoop so low to have Karain on again. Tuttle, happy to have you. brutal having Corain on last week. Unfortunately, though, for Tuttle, as Kitchen did mention, we will be drafting an underdog team on today's show. So, Tuttle, you can run, but you can't hide, buddy. The Swolecast, we got dusted last week in the Royal Caribbean Weekend Throwdown Contest. Despite having Herbert and Big Mike in our lineup, you can blame Joshua Kelly for that, who is shaping up to be the biggest rug since Kitchen shilled Bored Ape tennis shoes to his loyal newsletter followers. What a rug. In other news, a Roto Grinder sub duped himself to win first and second place in the Millie Maker on DraftKings this week. In an interview with Andrew Means, he admitted to self-identifying more as a Run Pure Sports sub.
No, duping himself.
Wow.
A stock photo of...
It's Andy Means, not Andrew Means.
No, we go by... I don't know him that well, Kitchen. A stock photo of Kevin James became a popular meme this week on X. If I had more time, I would have Photoshopped Kitchen's head on it and tweeted a caption about Deshaun Watson. It's a free idea for anyone out there.
All right. Everyone, I'm not going to talk for the next 3 minutes while I get Kitchen's
please
face.
Do, please do. Davis Matic is all in on Friend Tech. He literally just sent out a post that Swolecast was going live to his Friend Tech followers. The kid is out here saying GM to anyone in earshot while he siphons ETH off the platform to buy more so rare cards. We're all on to you, Davis.
I haven't withdrawn yet. That's how much of a believer I am. Well, here's the thing. I would withdraw, but you have to bridge it to the base Ethereum chain, and that just seems like too much work.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't even gotten that far yet. That is good to know. I guess I'll just buy another key to your room with my liquid ETH on there. I didn't win in week 3, which means the Sims don't work, and I'm back to being a brain player. I'm going to ask Petty Theft to take me under his wing, teach me how to use this brain of mine to play DFS. And this week we have one game with a total over 50. Yeah. It's the Miami Don't Call Him A-Chains facing off against the Buffalo. The Sims say it's actually okay to play our Chalk D. Bills, back to you, Dave. This has been the Overzets overview.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, and I did talk about Amari Cooper last week too. That Titans pass funnel defense. So
I'm, you know what? Objection overruled. Jerome Ford, 19.8 DraftKings points overruled. Soccer Dave overruled.
He got there on one pass, basically one pass.
He scored twice. Overruled. Not giving
Titans
you this
did
one.
Not show up. They did not show up. So, yeah, I will take
I'm
it.
Sure,
so
Joe Mixon will be the one to bust the run funnel narrative this way, or pass funnel narrative.
All right. Let's get into, should we just go ahead and start drafting our Dog Bowl qualifier? And then, Pete, if you want to do the math there, and then, so
let's just enter. I mean, you do the math before the show starts. Now we just
I entered. Oh, I have to set rankings.
Two people left. Get in, Kitchen. Get in, Tuttle.
Oh, set rankings.
Oh my God.
I'm in.
I'm in. Drafting starts soon.
Oh, I'm not in.
Seriously,
Kitchen.
I didn't set rankings.
Unreal.
You know what, Dave? This actually works better because now you won't be auto drafting anyone, so you can just vibe here.
You know what? And I'll just get the next one, and you guys can see. I honestly, it was going to be too EV for me in that draft, anyways.
You're actually Willy Wonka, and we are the kids touring the chocolate.
But factory. This is why I wanted to do the math too. Like, we should have done it with only three people.
Don't do the math when this is clearly on you for just being a shit show with anything involving administrative stuff with this show.
Yeah. No, this is a thing where you have to set rank.
No, objection overruled again.
Who's this? Who's this fish drafting fourth without a badge?
Yeah. Wow. No badge. Maybe less tennis projections, more drafting, Tuttle. Get that badge on here.
All right. I'm trying to get a good Soccer Dave Photoshop going here.
I can only imagine your Photoshop skills. Can we just set the table for this live final event, though? Shout out to Underdog team for giving us just tickets that will be used. I will use my ticket. And then also everyone else that are listening. So we're going to give 4 tickets on today's show. We're going to give 2 tickets to some comments. We're going to have a social media contest and give 2 tickets on there. But Pete, as the underdog spokesperson, would you consider yourself the unofficial spokesperson for Underdog?
No, they don't ask me to do commercials. That's Norris. That's Settleman, whose sources remain undefeated, by the way.
Why wasn't Settleman in your intro? Settleman should have been in your intro.
I completely forgot. That was a huge oversight by me.
Oh, him saying that Burrow was going to start but not finish, according to his sources, was classic.
You know when J-Mac has the ratio reply that you're in tough scenes right there.
Yeah.
Rough waters.
That was a tweet where Elon got me. Yes, I will hit the hamburger menu and hit view post engagements here for sure to see what people were saying on that one.
But this is a battle royale. So, Pete, go ahead and just set the table.
It's not a battle royale. It's a different. No, it's not. Battle royales involve 6 drafters. This is a 12 person.
Okay. It's a battle royale format as far as like you're going against everybody. This is according to their own tournament landing page. You're going against everybody, not just the people in your own league.
And I'm just telling you that underdog drafters have a much different connotation for what battle royale means. But yes, this is a 1 week tournament. This is for week 4. And it's different in that this is a live qualifier tournament. So it's essentially winner take all for the top 3. You get that ticket, punch it to Miami. Multiple guys from the Deposit Kingdom have already won. Nez from the Badge Bros won in week 2. And we are drafting 1 quarterback, and you can have 1 running back, 2 wide receivers, 1 tight end, and 1 flex. So once you take your quarterback and tight end, I guess you can take multiple tight ends if you wanted to go bully tight end in the flex, but generally it's 1 quarterback, 1 tight end, and then you can choose how you want to allocate your flex to running back or wide receiver.
Davis, how unique are you getting with your draft?
I mean, I would say...
Is it just like your regular takes that are, you know, pretty out there?
I would say probably like the biggest thing to be doing is just look at obvious spots where projections are going to be within a point, point and a half of each other, but the ADP will be fairly like... Probably the easiest spot would be at tight end. So like, let's say, for example, Dallas Goedert is going to be drafted in 100% of these, whereas Dalton Kincaid, maybe you scroll down a little bit further, Donald Parham maybe gets drafted in 50% or something along those lines, which is the Badge Bros have this mantra, scroll the F down. It's literally as simple as it sounds, which is in a 17-week season, you are... going to, especially with how strong ADP is, you're going to be wrong versus the market quite a bit. You are much more likely to be right versus the market in a 1-game sample where the ADP is also a much smaller sample.
Okay.
The other thing I would say that's different from the battle royales is when you only have 36 players being drafted, you really do have, like, you obviously you want to stack your quarterback with wide receiver most of the time, but otherwise you just want to hit all the one-off nut plays. Like last week, it was like Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill. Whereas in this format where we're seeing 72 players get drafted, I do think you can lean into correlation a little bit more, a little game stack, try to hit on less things. You have to get less things right just having this many drafters.
Teddle, how's it feel to be in an underdog draft? We got Davis saying ADP. You're in the draft, so...
It's nice to see a better it's nice to see the better design than DraftKings. I'll give you that. Since DraftKings was my only best ball experience this summer. I have no idea how to approach this, and I wasn't really listening to Davis or Pete there.
You and everybody else. I asked Davis how unique, and he just gives a 5-minute monologue, and basically it's just play whoever
you should get pretty
want
unique
within reason. Yeah,
you should get pretty neat. How about that? Does that work?
What do we think about what do we think about double stacks?
That's what I was just addressing. I think
you were talking about stacks, but
I
think that's bad.
That's kind of what I was getting.
Let's
not with the Dolphins.
Let's have
Sure.
Let's have a overall conversation as far as stacking goes and bringing back, because now we're seeing like certain sims saying that like bring backs aren't necessary for, you know, for your stacks. Like you don't have to have a bring back. Your thoughts on that, Davis? Like when you hear that, is your world rocked?
I mean, I think a fairly interesting thing that we are learning as people are digging so deep into these sims is that bring backs are a little bit overvalued, that really no matter which way you slice and dice the sim stuff, you can't really draw a real strong correlation or a real strong projection impact from the bring backs. And I think one of the explanatory variables for why bring backs were so successful for so long is the best players were doing them quite a bit. So you were more likely to have high quality lineups with bring backs in them.
So does this change your week 17 best ball? Not to get too deep into best ball stuff, but does this change week 17 where you have to have a bring back in like a game that you stack?
No, I still think the thesis there, because one, it's a different activity, but two, you're also just sort of playing on game environment. Like you wouldn't want to bring back in a 38 total, but you'd really like one, or you'd like one more in a 48 and a half point total.
All right. Let's talk about quarterbacks real quick.
I just want to say thank you to Pete for making that decision easier on me by taking Waddle. I think double stacks is bad with the field size as big as it is.
I do think most of the time, but if I was going to make one single exception, it'd be like the greatest offense we've ever seen that is so hyper condensed and just scored 70 points. That would be my exception.
The outlier.
Boy. Let's talk about quarterback this week. Davis, who are some of your top QB options?
Well, I think this season, the story of my season is I'm just going to be destined to play Lamar Jackson at right about 3% owned. And last week, he was the second highest scoring quarterback in the main slate, but it didn't matter because Mark Andrews had like 5.5 points. So I think that's just going to be the tale of my season. Again, another spot for him against the Browns. We're like, sure, their defense is good. I don't care at all. You know, this week has been a great week for people tweeting out insane Browns defensive stats. Doesn't really matter to me. I do feel with Allen and Tua getting so jammed as a result of that game environment that there is going to be a nice little avenue to play, you know, Hurts and AJ Brown with a Washington football team guy. And actually Anthony Richardson against the Rams. I mean, 5-6% ownership on him. And he's really just the same thesis as Lamar, just with less of a ceiling. I would say Richardson's probably my favorite right now.
Ooh. Pete, quarterbacks?
Yeah. I do like that that Rams Colts game has one of the better totals on the slate. I think you can even play it on the other side too with Matthew Stafford in that spot, 5,700. I kind of want to go back to Puka too. I know he disappointed people, so I don't know. I still like this.
People are wondering when big Puka will capitulate on our short king.
Yeah. I'm not ready to give up on Puka yet. The other ones there too, I will say another surprisingly high total. This Bears Broncos game has a 46 point total.
I mean, it kind of makes sense though when you think about it. It's just like traditionally the Bears and Broncos haven't been like, you know, bad defenses that let a lot of points in.
But both of these teams too can be explosive, right? Like we've seen Denver be very explosive. I mean, can we get just Marvin Mims up to a goddamn 50% snap share and what happens?
Under no scenario is that happening.
But can't you close your eyes, Dave, and picture, you know, Marvin Mims and Justin Fields alternating big plays here in this game going crazy? I think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. I was going to ask about Fields and like going to ask Tuttle as far as what he thought ownership would be on Fields, because it just seems like everybody's off of him right now, like in the NFL and fantasy world. And
would you rather play Lamar at 3% or Fields at 3%? Fields isn't even to the point of getting a real discount. He's 6,600. Like it's not even like when you play Deshaun Kaiser for 5,100 or whatever.
Yeah, no one's gonna and that's why I was asking Tuttle. I don't think anyone's gonna play him.
Wasn't he like the quote unquote sharp tout last week?
Yeah,
against the Chiefs, Fields. Well,
Well, we had I'll comment that he said he was going to get back to his like instincts, which we thought would be like running.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say I did exactly what everyone's doing now. Last year, I saw him on an island game against the Washington Commanders, not like look competent at all, and just like takes sacks left and right. And then he just absolutely ruined me for like the next 4 weeks. So I'm not going to pretend like I know when Justin Fields is going to have a good game. What I will say is he's still put up fairly competent fantasy points performances the last 2 weeks, and he's playing like shit. So if you're having that kind of floor, and we know what he can do when he can run the ball, like I'm not going to take some stance against him. I think he's probably not a very good professional QB, but he's pretty dang good for fantasy.
What are your thoughts on Deshaun Watson this week, Tuttle?
Oh, he's trash.
No. Oh.
He's trash. I mean, we're just talking lesser versions of Lamar and Fields at this point.
It's not what Kevin James with his hands in his pockets wanted to hear. That is not the direction that Soccer Dave wanted you to go there.
Well, by the way, our projections trimmed. I apologize.
That's a personal problem. Deshaun Watson is, I looked at our projections, third as far as both in points per dollar and value goes. So,
I mean, I don't, why are we even like, it's just going to be whichever one of Tua or Josh Allen scores more points. And I'm not going to play either one of them. And then I'm going to be sitting there on Sunday night and be like, oh, the Fish win again. The Fish played the quarterback with a 53 total. I can't believe it.
We also have Jalen Hurts.
He's the play.
Is anybody going to talk about him?
I mean, I just did about 90 seconds ago, but yeah, he's definitely the guy. Because the Eagles' pass defense is been bad. I mean, they've let every quarterback go up against them pass like above their baseline.
I hate how sharp the Anthony Richardson pick was from Pete there.
Were you trying to push him? Oh no, you already have Tua.
I have Tua. Yeah. He's gonna be the other guy. I ran we're so early in the week because this is a first look show.
Yeah.
That is nice and early and nobody else is doing it. But as a result, projections are in a very fragile state to start the week.
Sure.
And before the show, I went and aggregated projections from across the industry. In the most shown up QB in those aggregates was Gardner Minshew.
What?
Who people have yet to adjust that Anthony Richardson's probably going to be playing this
week. Well, big NFL. Have you guys heard this? Big NFL is like, I don't know if you can go back to Richardson at this point. Like, there was already like,
they're pushing guys. That?
No way. Yeah. There's no
multiple
chance.
I mean, not like real analysts, but like, you know, guys who used to be coaches and stuff on like CBS are saying, like, I don't know if you can go back. Minshew, you know, Minshew mania.
I'm about to auto draft, guys. I have no idea what to do here. All right, I didn't. I got the Gerald Everett.
You should have taken Kincaid.
Kincaid was already taken.
Oh,
by our sharp co-host here.
Let's.
I like Everett. Everett's good.
Let's recap your teams real quick. Pete has J. Jeff from the two slot. Then Jalen Waddle, James Cook, Anthony Richardson, and Dalton Kincaid. So big on the Bills, just without Josh Allen.
Yeah, should Najee Harris even be drafted? Should Najee Harris even be drafted in this format?
No.
Like, he's got an ADP. People are taking him.
I think you need
six
more rounds to get Najee in there.
Tuttle stacks Reek with Tua. Then goes Josh Jacobs, George Pickens, and Gerald Everett. I was going to ask about that Pittsburgh-Houston game because both offenses looked, you know, competent last week, and there is some formula for shootout.
Yeah, the Steelers are not competent, but the Stroud is.
Stroud, Houston he is, competent. But in my opinion, D'Amico Ryans has been waiting for this spot where he can just play some good old-fashioned smash mouth football. Like, I bet the game plan that they installed for the Jaguars was far more pass heavy than this, like, you know, than the actual score line indicated. This week install, which they would have done yesterday, would have been like, we are beating this team 19-14. we are running the ball down their throats. Like, it is not a good passing week for them, either team, really.
I think if the Steelers defense wasn't so good, like, heads would be rolling in Pittsburgh right now with how bad things would be.
Well, they were also up big early, and they just took their foot completely off the gas in the fourth. And I guess that might be a concern against this Houston team, but if
they're 3-point dogs, David.
To Houston?
A 3-point home or road faves.
Yeah, my bad. I thought you were saying the other way around.
No, I'm saying Pittsburgh, they were up 23-7 last week and then just did nothing for the remainder of the game. But there is some explosive potential there from Pickens, specifically. Friermuth got a touchdown as well. So not nothing there.
Yeah, it'll be a good test for Stroud, I think, against a better defense here.
And then Davis goes Pollard, can't quit him. Mark Andrews, Debo.
Can't quit the guy who leads the NFL in expected points. You know me.
Brock Purdy. I can't quit him. Tutu.
Dude, Tutu is a baller, man.
Yeah.
Can you believe they said he stepped out on that touchdown? I mean, that felt very targeted at me that they didn't just count that.
So yeah. No one cares about this, but I did win both of my main leagues last week on that final play. One, I had 2-2 in my home league. The other, I had Stafford in the RG league. So,
I love it, Dave.
This show. I mean, we've had a lot of lows on this show, but Dave touting a win where he started Matt Stafford in the RG league is like pretty far down the list.
A 14 team league.
Oh, it's a 14 team league. This story just got a whole lot more interesting.
And I drafted Kupp and Taylor in this league, so I'm just trying to get to week 5 here.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to running backs. Unless you guys have any other hot takes. Tuttle, any other hot takes at quarterback?
Sorry, was on mute. No, like I said, I think Anthony Richardson's kind of like the guy as long as he suits up. I looked at the slate. I have similar sentiments to Davis here. Like, I looked at the slate to prep for the show, and it's like, the slate sucks. Because it's basically just jam Miami and Buffalo. Or you don't do that, and then you're just in a fetal position for the whole first set of games and hoping nobody goes off. Nothing too much to add. I had a bad take. Burrow was the bad take.
Oh yeah. That's pretty bad. I mean, I like pass funnel.
Immobile. Yeah. Burrow. I can't believe David hasn't jumped on this one though. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
why?
They're the funnel Titans. Pass funnel.
Pass funnel, man.
Yeah.
Pass
funnel. Yeah. But did you watch that game? The way he was limping when he actually
he can't move very well, but
yeah,
nobody's gonna be playing him. He's 6,600. I think 66. He's not a bad price, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd probably rather.
The problem is he hasn't fallen as much as I thought he would. Where you could do like a fairly cheap Burrow double. But I think you just use him with one.
This Tennessee offense is so abysmal. I just don't think you have to do a lot to win this game, and so. If this would be probably where you would want to have some sort of bring back with a Titans player, because you would have to have someone go off for him to do anything, for Burrow to do anything. Because right now it's just like, if you score 14 points, you're going to beat the Titans. Their offense is so bad. The offensive line is so bad. I'd probably rather play Purdy over him against Arizona.
Kitchen, you want to recap your team? Oh, yeah, you didn't get registered.
Here's the thing, though. I'm about to draft a team based off what I've already learned in this draft right here.
Wow. So you were using us as your guinea pigs, your lab rats. 100%.
I just made a really bad final pick, and I wish I could have that back. My best ball brain took over for a second. I was like, oh, you got to catch the falling ADP value there. No, terrible. Terrible by me.
But wow. Judy, you didn't like that pick?
No, I should have taken Michael Wilson.
Ooh. just because he was Wilson like,
back to being a thing, even with Short King Summer still rolling.
He went to the bench. He went to the bench and then he started last game and he basically caught like the game winning first down on a sick play. So I think Wilson's back.
Yeah, and Davis, you know how much I like Michael Wilson, but also he did not look exactly fast on that. Like I was screaming for him to
score. He 2-2 would have scored on that play.
Yes, 100%. I'm down on 2-2 it's like we have swapped because I am completely down with all the 2-2 this week. Give me all the 2-2 over Puka, I think.
Yeah.
So let's as far as your last picks, you got Judy, Tuttle got Zay Flowers, and then Pete goes Josh Downs. Man, slim pick.
Stacking it up.
Josh Downs.
12 times. Right here. Is he going to have Minshew passing to him this week or no?
He was good in week one with Richardson.
You had to pair him with Richardson. Gotcha.
Downs has 16% of the targets minimum in every game. He's got 25% of the targets from Minshew. He's their only guy who can get open other than Pittman. He is short king.
He's our generation's Tank Dell this week. He's week 14.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll talk about receiver in a second. Similar names to last week. Let's talk about running backs real quick. Kyren Williams, yay or nay?
I mean, he does seem good. But at what I would expect him to be owned, given that, like, the thing about Kyren is he's really bad. He is not fast. He is not explosive. He's not even big. You know, he's like you know, if you're going to be slow, at least be big. He literally played every single snap, did not get subbed out one time against the Cincinnati Bengals, and just put up the most mediocre stat line you could ever have asked for. 10 for 38. 2 for 27 on 7 targets. Like, he is obviously fine, but I would put him more in the Josh Kelly bucket in terms of you're going to be way more mad when you flip over the cards and he's 38% owned and he stinks than someone you actually think can be efficient on the touches he gets, whether that be, I mean, even in terms of like shitty efficiency running backs, Miles Sanders is better. Like, he's getting targeted and isn't very good, but he's more efficient than Kyren is. I don't know what I'm gonna do with Kyren yet, but I'm scared to play him into massive ownership.
Well, he is better chalk than Josh Kelly, though.
Yeah,
let's just get that out there.
Well, it's a good game. It's hilarious that Zach Moss is opposite him in the same game because they're the Spider-Man meme. Exact same price,
literally
100% of the work. And I did the aren't you worried, like Zach Moss sucks, Baltimore Ravens. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter how good you are, what the matchup is. If you get 100% of the touches on a non Zach Wilson led offense, you're going to be fantasy relevant. So I think.
Well, except if you're Josh Kelly, except if you're Josh Kelly.
Yeah. But didn't even Josh Kelly see a little bit of work last week?
I think Isaiah Spiller played like 9 snaps.
Yeah. Week 3, Spiller had 23% of the snaps. So like that is a difference from 100%.
Did he get any touches though? I think he got one target. There was a Josh Kelly tweet going around today. He 24 pass blocking snaps, the most of any in the NFL since SIS started tracking it in a single game.
Yeah, you've got, I mean, that's the thing, Tuttle, that we have to figure out, right? Is this mid-range running back this week? Because it seems like there are a million of them.
I mean, hey, Josh Kelly, $5,300 against the Las Vegas Raiders. What's one more spin at the roulette wheel, David?
There you
go. Like Dave's Photoshop was better than I thought. Did you do this yourself?
I did. Yeah, I just did the old Apple preview.
way better and funnier than I even pictured it in my head.
It's not bad. Not bad. I used a great picture, no neck, everything. Just the that's prime Kevin James right there. I loved that show, by the way.
You loving that show is like the least surprising thing. You probably identified with that character.
Dave, I do 100%.
Dave sitting down to watch broadcast TV. Like, you know, it's 8 o'clock at night. Dave's like, no, you know what I want to do?
It's not his TV dinner, his frozen TV dinner.
It's
not even
broadcast. It's like on demand Hulu. Like, let's, of all the things, I just want a cheap laugh right now. We love this show.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right. We need four more in this this dog bowl.
Kitchen, stop trying to pump the dog bowl. It's not even gonna be on screen.
Stop.
No, it will.
you gotta do it on your own time, brother. There's no way you were gonna be able to host
I will show. Give the results at the end of the show.
Kitchen, all right, you are not capable of doing a draft and hosting this show at the same time.
False.
I once
drafted blindfolded on this show.
It was your best show you've ever had.
Exactly.
I would like to plant a flag early in the week. DeAndre Swift, whatever he's actually going to end up being owned is not enough. My guess is it settles in kind of
big
that.
Jump there. Big leap.
He'll settle in that ETN range, like how ETN was last week, like 18 to 20%, kind of depending on your contest. I think that if you watch the game, the Gainwell stuff was very predictable in the sense if he came in for like the 2-minute drills and like the real quick stuff. But there literally cannot be any question that DeAndre Swift is the lead running back on that team.
He might be the most chalk of the running backs, though, this week, Davis.
No, Kyron.
Can we get Kyron mad at Cardi? I'm looking at his ceiling projections right now. These are running backs he has with a higher ceiling than Devon Achan, Raheem Mostert, and DeAndre Swift. Najee Harris, Jerome Ford, Rashad White, Damian Pierce, Alexander Mattison. Come on, Cardi. What is ceiling mean anymore?
Let me take you behind the curtains here. Cardi has not looked at projections yet this week. This is just whatever. This is whatever was ported over from last week.
Rashad White was a yard away from scoring last week, but against this New Orleans, just hard pass there.
I guess we're really feeling the effects of doing a first look show 30 minutes earlier, man. We can't, I mean, the projections we're dealing with these days, it's rough.
if you switch the tab over to RG NFL projections, someone has at least looked at the market shares there and gotten them a little bit closer.
Okay.
Dave, I want to disagree with your point that Swift is going to be like stone chalk. Obviously he will be owned, but there is Kyron, Sanders, Swift, White, Javonte, Ford, Madison, Mostert, A-Chain, Brian Robinson, and Zach Moss all within $400 of each other, and they're all projecting within like 2 or 3 points. So Swift,
that's what I was saying. We have to figure out what we're doing with those, but I think that he's going to be the
chalk. I just told
you.
I just put the flag in the ground.
Okay. So you're saying don't even worry about those other guys. It's Swift
lineups
for you.
Require a minimum of two and can actually have a surplus of three on DraftKings.com. What I would like to ask one Mr. Tuttle, because he is going to be the most unbiased because he doesn't have bags like Peter and I do. What would you, Peter and I want to be jamming in Devon Achane every slate for the rest of the season. That was a very good result for us on Sunday. As an unbiased observer, what is your opinion on his performance and how to project him moving forward?
Let me bring up, I don't even know what the snap shares looked like.
Watching that game, while you look that up, watching that game, it looked like Achane was getting all the stuff early, and that Mostert got, he was getting stuff later. Unless,
it's not exactly true because Achane scored a touchdown before Mostert did. So that's not exactly true.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's the reverse. I think his touchdown production was early, but his rushing production was late.
Correct.
I think you have it swapped.
Correct.
Yes. I mean, he scored a 67-yard rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Right. And so, he's going to be, in my opinion, he'll probably just be like Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to say Nyheim Hines, and I was about to be like, I'm going to throw up.
We'll probably see like a Jahmyr Gibbs role for him, would be my unbiased thoughts. Maybe
people should watch some Mike McDaniel film of how to get Jahmyr Gibbs some more creative touches.
Hey, but that could be your argument, is that he's in an offense that knows how to use him. So, yes, maybe the role in terms of like snap share and touches might be similar, but they'll be more efficient. Because
Dan Campbell was not lying when he said that Jahmyr Gibbs was going to get the most touches. He just didn't tell us that all the touches were going to become David Montgomery touches instead of good touches.
Yeah.
Pete?
Yeah, Achane got Reek. Reek went got the first deep pass, and then Achane got the next two touchdowns. And then,
so like my first thought on Achane this week is that it was going to track what happened with Puka after week one, where there is this natural skepticism to these rookies who way outperform expectations, and people, the price goes up a little bit and people just don't want to buy it. Like, even when I put out some stuff about Tank Dell, I was getting all these mentions of like, oh, it's too early to crown him, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, no one ever wants to admit that like this could be the new reality here. And so if Achane at 5700 has a muted ownership,
he won't be even 10% owned.
I think he's an awesome play sub 10%.
I think that's a fair point, because projections are never going to catch up to just 1 week sample, right? So like Puka, you're not going to give him a 35% target share after 1 week because there's not a big enough sample. I mean, the problem here though is like you would have to have his efficiency just off the charts, which isn't going to happen. So yeah, I mean, I don't have.
But it won't happen. It won't happen most weeks, but it will happen some weeks, right? Like, I don't know if you had to bet, you'd bet like 3 weeks for the rest of the season, he will have either, 11 touches, 3 touchdowns, or like a long touchdown or something like that. But yeah, I mean, he seems like a classic guy you don't play into heavy ownership. Like, let's say he smashes again this week, and in week five, he's 6,300, but everyone wants to play him. Like Bob and Nancy are logging in to click Devin Achane.
So here's David. I got a point.
Okay.
I got a good one. Here's the curveball. I want to get this off the chest.
Total
here's
cutting off Kitchen is a monumental moment for this show.
Yeah. Well, it never happened.
So what did we used to love about the Dolphins offense other than they were great? Is it was just Tyreek and Waddle, right? Like, it was so concentrated. What if the curveball on this now is that they have too many mouths to feed? They have too many talented players.
Waddle is the one who loses. If you're right about this, Waddle becomes like Mike Williams instead of like just mini Tyreek.
Here's the thing though, they scored 70 last week and Durham Smythe had like 2 PPR points. Like it is so hyper.
He was a top last week, right?
Everyone who played Durham Smythe in cash, I hope you enjoyed
Davis told me to play him.
No, I did not.
Yes,
you did. Secret chat?
No, 100%.
I told everyone to play Dalton Kincaid, which also didn't work, but was still.
it was a better tout retrospectively for sure.
I'm actually still proud I didn't play Durham Smythe because he ran 7 routes. You played a right tackle. You could have just played a right tackle for 2,500.
You could have played Kyle Pitts and had the time of your life watching that game.
Wasn't that your pick or is that Karain's pick last week? It might have been Karain's pick.
I forget. I gold star locked Kyle Pitts on my show. That went well.
Karain apologized to me twice last week for basically downplaying the Kenneth Walker love that we gave him on this show. So let's one publicly, one privately that Sal had to send me. So totally. All right, so let's do a thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll service the audio listeners real quick. Ready? Miles Sanders. thumbs down from Davis and Pete, and then Tuttle gives them the medium. Jerome Ford. Davis says yay. Pete says nay. Tuttle says yay. So Pete's,
I mean, there's
on
one
the,
or two ways actually, you can interpret him sucking against the Titans. One, you could say it's the Titans, or two, you could say Ford sucks. I am choosing to say it was about the Titans and not so much about him.
Well, one thing I was going to say, my initial thumbs down, I mean, like he only had 55% of the snaps, 33% of the rush attempts there in week three. Pierre Strong, Kareem Hunt mixing in, but Kareem Hunt missed practice today. So
also Pierre Strong was in there for the final two drives because they were up a billion points. Yeah. He had not played that much earlier.
Yeah, the thing too about Jerome Ford is you're probably going to pay like a slight touchdown ownership tax on what he did last week that doesn't reflect his usage.
So we can't get too much into the weeds because we have, this is going to be a long show. We haven't got to wide receivers or building lineups yet. We have 11 minutes left of an hour long show.
No one has a hard out. No one has a hard out. We're vibing.
All right. All right. So both these guys do. So Raheem Mostert, yay or nay?
This is old takes exposed, but I'm playing A-chan.
All right. And I'm gonna give a gross one just to see you guys' thoughts on this.
Say James
Khalil Carter. Herbert. Khalil Herbert.
That is gross.
I'm literally not even raising my arm for that.
Yeah. Okay. All not right. Worthy of then response. Let's
just play Roshan. Let's, if you want to make that.
Let's
play.
Let's create a lineup real quick and then we'll get into wide receivers. Tuttle, we'll start with you. And before you do that, I want to give out a underdog ticket to someone who actually left a podcast review. ZZZZ589 says one of my favorite podcasts. Can also say it's one of, if not my favorite fantasy football podcasts. Honestly, if you're new to this show, it might be a hard listen, especially if you're a weird, crazy, serious fantasy football player, aka a D-bag. These guys know their stuff, but also don't claim to act like they know everything that's going to happen in the most random sport in the world. Love the bits and all the fun. Keep it going for the short kings. Live a little, and please don't ever change this show. So, ZZZ.
Did you just give yourself a ticket, Kitchen?
No. I would have said something about the host if that was
Dave,
that was me.
I will give out a ticket to one person who responds to the Soccer Dave Kevin James tweet. Just comment.
Don't go engagement farming with your ticket.
Yeah, that is cheap.
I'll give one away to someone who buys my Fred Tech key.
comment your underdog name underneath the Soccer Dave Kevin James, and I'll pick one of you.
Jeez, that is a new low for you, Davis. All right, let's start with you, Peter.
All right, and by the way, we are going back to the 5K challenge, DoorDash, and Clay Matthews Sunday football series this week. We need to compete against Clay Matthews, who continues to trot out pretty horrendous lineups. I think we can get him. Let's go to my my dog bowl pick. Let's put in Anthony Richardson.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Assuming he's going to be playing.
Yes, I will send out a global swap alert if he doesn't play.
Please.
Honestly, very bizarre. In the concussion protocol, but at practice today. What does that even mean?
I don't know. But if Jacoby Myers played last week, I think Anthony Richardson's fine this week. Davis?
A-chain.
Ooh, okay.
Correct the pronunciation, please.
Here's the thing. I started off the offseason calling him Devon Achane, and I don't know if I can get to A-chan.
Yeah.
All right. Tuttle.
I'm running it back with Dalton.
Yes. Yes, Tuttle.
He's gotta cash one of these weeks, right?
This is actually the week where he is both a leverage play and a good play. We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there.
All right, so Kincaid at tight end. We need a running back and three receivers, so I can pretty much choose whoever I want at receiver. You know what? Let's go back. I know he's pricey, but let's go back to Davante Adams. I just think he's like a jam.
With Brian Hoyer at 8K.
Aiden O'Connell, baby. Let it fly.
I wish it was. It sounds like it would be Hoyer if it was.
By far, the most confusing thing is that Dave knows zero ball and then also somehow loves Devontae Adams. That Dave arrives with no ball knowledge but knows ball enough to know that Devontae Adams is so good.
You can't get credit for knowing Devontae Adams is good at football. It's been a thing.
He's
for
the
like,
best receiver. People drafted
him behind freaking Garrett Wilson and St. Brown the whole offseason, so you do get credit. He was the wide receiver.
We will never know the Garrett Wilson versus Devontae Adams run.
Also, there's a little bit of narrative here. I think they're just going to continue at those post-game comments. I think they're going to continue to feed him the ball. So
you think the guy who just had like 19 catches for 400 yards and two touchdowns
is
going to keep him the ball?
You get a lot of targets again.
Okay. Yes.
Good. Good. All right, Pete. Good.
This lineup needs a short king. Let's do 2-2.
Love it.
Wow, this is the best lineup we've ever made in the history of the show, which means it is just destined for getting beat by Clay Matthews.
Yeah, we didn't even get a preface from
I like how no one has ownership projections yet except 2-2, where it's just like short king summer. We know how this is going.
It's short king summer, dude. are the Giants are not on the main or okay, never mind. I was gonna try and go full short king summer. I was gonna try and put Wandale in there. Let's put in a defense just so we know what pricing we are working with. Looks like the who is gonna be I guess probably the Browns will be the chalk defense. Who's gonna be the chalk?
Colts or Browns are showing up the most early on. Eagles.
I think
Cardinals if you want to go just dirt cheap and need that extra
few. I like Cardinals defense.
Yeah, let's go Cardinals defense. That's fine.
Why do we like this one? Other than they're cheap.
Just it's cheap and their defense has been actually pretty good.
Their defense is actually like kind of good. Yeah.
Brock Purdy has a meltdown pick six in him for sure.
Yeah. All right, so we have 6,233 remaining. Let's just play. I'm choosing Pollard as my selection.
Pollard also my dog bowl 10th overall pick.
Davis love picked him in the dog bowl too.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that. All right. Is it my turn then?
No.
Or is it Tuttle? Did you have a pick?
Tuttle.
I'll let you pick, though, if you want to give me the salary range.
Yeah, like I was. Yeah, I'll go receiver. I'm not going Thielen or Dell, even though Thielen, that's a revenge game for him. I'm going to go George Pickens, though.
Oh, you were so close. You were so close to making a brilliant point. You were going to, I thought you were going to take Nico instead of Dell as like the giga leverage and you didn't quite get there.
Robert Woods. Come on now.
No, come on.
This leaves us.
We have 5,500 for a flex.
Let's do Javonte Williams against the Chicago defense. Yeah. A little breakout party for Javonte.
Three RBs. Jeez. Who are you guys?
Yeah. Don't seriously. Worry.
They all catch passes. We're good.
Here, I do just want to bring this up before I forget this point, and I want to bury it pretty deep in the show so no one hears it. But come on, a 2% owned Josh Kelly for the Chargers against freaking Brian Hoyer led Raiders.
Davis, do we need to replay all the stuff you said about Joshua Kelly?
I'm sitting there looking at a $5,500 flex, and I'm like, I can already see into my future. I know I'm clicking Kelly in the big red zone or whatever. Like I just already know.
Someone cut up you on the Gilcast talking about Kelly and then this. It was
one of my most popular tweets of the year already was if I ever play Josh Kelly, send me to Siberia again. So I guess I need to buy a nice winter coat.
Not Josh Kelly, but cheap receivers this week. You got Thielen 4,500, Tank Dell 4,600, so about $1,000 more than they were last week. And Josh Palmer 4K.
Yeah.
One step deeper.
All right.
Marvin Mims.
You will earn your Sklansky bucks this week by playing Quentin Johnston.
God, I hope you're right.
I think it's Gerald Gerald Everett's, I think, the Sklansky Bucks.
No, dude, Parham. Parham is the Sklansky play. He ran more routes in two of the games than Everett.
All right, we've now named every wide receiver and pass catcher on the Chargers after Keenan Allen.
So it's you play 28% Keenan Allen, and you live with it.
Other cheap receivers that you guys like this week?
I just wanted to fact check because I knew it wasn't going to be true, but Parham has not run more routes in two of the three games this year.
Was it just one of the three?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was confusing.
Here's where you blame Leone. Blame Leone.
I was confusing Stone Smart's routes. Stone Smart has run more routes than Quentin Johnston through three games. My apologies.
Stone Smart at the stone minimum.
With two T's.
It's actually true, though. Like, what I just said before, I made up, and I knew I was making it up when I said it. It just sounded better than one of the three games. But the Stone Smart one is actually true.
Stone Smart sounds like someone who would star in a best ball porno.
True.
I don't think the Stone Smart one is right either, to be honest.
No, the Stone Smart one is.
Week one, okay, Johnston 16 routes, Stone Smart 3.
Listen, we do not have time to fact check, Davis.
Stone Smart 11, Johnston 9. So there's one.
We don't have time. Kitchen, update us on what happened in the second round of your Dog Bowl qualifier.
I drafted Olave and then with the second overall pick. And then Derrick Henry. Dan just stole Derrick Henry from me.
You and Dan in a little off-camera Dog Bowl. Love that for you guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Debo then with my third pick. All right. Back to receivers, though. Cheap wide receivers. I like this take from Eric Byme for. It's actually a premium pick. If you guys aren't signed up for the RG Premium and want to have a chance at $1 million like our last sub did on Sunday. But DJ Chark, I think, is a pretty sharp call this week.
If three less routes, for sure.
three less targets.
It is.
And then also a lot of air yards. Getting back to full speed. Everyone's going to be playing Thielen. And then also everyone's going to be playing Josh Palmer. And so he's running.
I just realized this is a revenge game for Thielen, too. The chalk is going to be the slappy.
I said that.
CSU is going to play him, and then he's going to get there, and Ram's going to be like, dude, sometimes it's more mental, dude. Sometimes it's more of an art. The Steve Smith revenge game was probably like the most tilted I've ever been in DFS when the ball popped off the helmet and he caught it. Nothing. I mean, it's the worst. All right. I got a wide receiver take. Is Puka actually going to be less owned than Atwell this week? And it sets up that you can get the guy with like 46 targets through three games at 18% or whatever.
The $1,200 price gap is going to be pretty meaningful. Although I thought last week everyone was going to play Osborne over Addison, and then Addison got steamed super late. I thought it was bizarre that Osborne was so low owned.
Yeah.
But people watch Tutu look really good. They're going to play him for the $1,200 savings.
High price receivers that you guys like?
This guy named Tyreek Hill. He's like pretty good. Tuttle.
Oh man, that tweet last week. I think it was an underdog tweet actually, about the best corner covering the best receiver in Tyreek.
Oh, the Surtain one.
So that's and then Enrique just immediately had that long touchdown.
Well, underdog put out the tweet about Patrick Surtain and what he's done in shadow coverage. He's allowed like 36 yards or whatever. But
and
I got
shadowing him.
I got a theory question for Mr. Tuttle 05. So last week, Tyreek was projected for straight up more points than Justin Jefferson, but everyone played Justin Jefferson because people liked that game. I think he ended up like twice as owned as Tyreek and like the spy and stuff. Is it going to be the opposite this week where Tyreek is in the game that everyone wants against Buffalo, and they're actually both more expensive? Jefferson's 9,600, Tyreek's 92, where we actually will get a week this season where Justin Jefferson is not 30% owned in these contests.
Could we see Jefferson like on 10% range?
I think so. I think so.
9,600 is a pretty high price tag. I do think everybody will flock to Tyreek as well.
And even Diggs and Waddle too. Like everyone just is going to be horny for that game after watching, you know, everyone win millions of dollars stacking the chalk game last week.
Yeah. I mean, it's Justin Jefferson, so it's always tough to tell how the public's going to handle him, but like wouldn't be surprised 10 to 15% on him.
It'll also probably depend if we get a really smash value play too that allows people to go studs and duds. That'll also funnel a little bit more there.
Yeah,
I don't know what that would be though.
What's more of a smash value play than $5,300 Josh Kelly and you know $4,500 Adam Thielen? Like,
do they have red zone in Siberia? How are you going to even watch this game?
I'll finally retire. You guys will just have to send me my check when my Tutu Atwell, Devin Achane, Short King Summer teams win in Week 17.
Yeah. All right, Thielen, Chase, or AJ Brown, all within $200. And not Thielen. I'm sorry. I said Thielen. Keenan.
What is going on?
Keenan.
Give me Chase. I mean, Chase was just fancy Keenan Allen last week with how shitty Burrow looked.
Okay.
I'll go Keenan.
I was going to say, I think things might actually just be different for Keenan this year, though. I mean, it's just an absurd amount.
At age 32, it's actually different for Keenan. This time it's different.
He's never seen target usage like this. He's actually never shown this big of a ceiling before. And now you remove his one competition, main competition for targets. I don't know. No Eckler again, probably. I mean, what's the floor for targets in this spot? Like 10?
So before in his career, he's had three separate instances of 19 target games. He's got 12 career games with over 15 targets. It's true he has never had a 200-yard game before, but he has obviously had multiple two-touchdown games, multiple games with 150 yards. So I don't know if that's 100% true. Obviously, I get what you're saying. It does. I think the big difference would be Kellen Moore is his offensive coordinator now, but I do just feel like my take would be I'll probably just not always play the guy who's more expensive and coming off his greatest ever career game. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong.
Yeah, that's fair, but he also shouldn't be almost $2,000 cheaper than Justin Jefferson.
Sure. Going to be pretty chalky though. Like pretty, pretty chalky.
Kitchen, you want to keep posting?
My totally.
He does. He totally wants to keep posting.
No, I just froze. Did Tuttle give a take on? By the way, did Tuttle give a take on which one he wanted?
Keenan.
Okay. All right. Let's go tight end.
Dalton Kincaid. That's all I got.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the stupidest lineup construction that you could do. But I'm going to have to throw one in the melee just for the hell of it. But
Andrews?
The Josh Allen double tight end stack.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
That's your terrible take.
That is fun. I like
that. It's kind of fun. Just hoping he gets four touchdowns. They get two each. Who cares who does the heavy lifting with the
yards? It's like the most untilting thing too. You don't care.
You just literally just vibe. It's literally just vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts.
All right. Reminder, you guys have to give away a ticket. If not, we'll just check the comments.
I already did. I already got people commenting.
Okay. So make sure that what about someone who's commenting actually in the chat and not on your own tweet?
Well, how would they have gotten the idea, Dave? It's cross-platform. Use your brain.
All right.
First person to list their favorite UCL squad in the chat gets my ticket.
Wow.
Make
That's
nice
a good one,
because
there's like such a small subset of the audience that has one anyways, and then another subset that doesn't know what UCL is. So people are Googling furiously. Oh, there we go. We got one. Check. Sesk.
All right.
Oh, of course, his name is Sesk. He gets it. He's probably Spanish. There we go. Arsenal. We got a winner.
Yeah, just put your username.
Whoever needs the contact
in the chat. Just put your username in the chat, and so producer Sosa we'll get there. Pete, any tight end takes from you?
Man. It is gross this week. I'm kind of like Davis in that I kind of want to just keep martingaling Mark Andrews. I mean, down to 5,400.
Insane. Dalton Schultz has been 5,400 before.
Yeah. So that one looks nice to me there as well. This feels like a spot where Hunter Henry could find himself in the end zone again. I know he struggled last week, but I think he's still by necessity going to be a very big part of that offense. I also don't mind. I don't know if I'm paying up for it, but if you're doing like the one niner in every lineup, George Kittle, I think you could mess around with here against the Cardinals.
Okay. Let me give my tight end terrible take. The only guy I'm going to recommend from the Titans, and that's Chig.
Like it.
Just because they tried to get him a couple screens last week. Obviously, they got blown up. But I think they're going to just continue to try to get him the ball to make some plays. Because otherwise,
I literally do not get the point. What is the point of the 2023 Tennessee Titans? What are they trying to accomplish?
What is the point?
Second week was fine.
All I know is the Burrow Chase Chig stacks are going to make some cash this week.
All right. I think that wraps it up.
I have a worse take than you, though, real quick, David.
Okay, give it.
Sean Payton's favorite. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
I have a worse one. You guys want to get the worst take in the history of this show? 0.1% owned. Julian Hill ran the third most routes on the Miami Dolphins.
Was it because Smythe was hurt?
No. Smythe played the whole game. Smythe played, and then they just stopped. Like, he came out in the first series, and then
there were multiple tweets about Smythe being injured out of that game.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. That was not the way that the data read to me, but it's certainly possible. But Julian Hill.
All right.
Chris Diaz says, Titans are the dynasty team that has convinced themselves they are a contender. That gets a ticket from me. So go ahead.
I'm in some leagues with Soccer Dave where he's doing a good Tennessee Titans or had been doing a good Tennessee Titans impersonation. Now he's full tanking.
No, not full tanking. I drafted Puka last year, which immediately puts me into contender mode. My team is solid. All right. I'm not seeing anything
about a Durham Smythe injury. I'm doing some Googling.
We don't have to do any more Durham Smythe stuff. Go ahead.
This is how I'm giving my ticket away. I'm not going to pump my own social media bags. I'm going to try to pump the show's bags. This is a ticket for this week's Dog Bowl, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. So I'll set like a by tomorrow around this time. So 24 hours. So when the show's over, leave a comment with your best NFL player dog pun. So like Barkavius Mingo. All right. I got you off to the races. Whoever has the best dog pun in the comments, I'll go through and scroll through those tomorrow and we will give out a ticket to who has the best.
All right. Final thoughts, Tuttle.
Adam Trautman is the terrible take of the week. Burrow, screw all these other guys that think he's too hurt to throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. Burrow, Chase, Chig stacks for the dollars. Fields with the Trautman bring back is the other stack, the terrible stack. And the Josh Allen double tight end stack. I'm full of just terrible stacks today.
You are having some of your greatest bad ideas right now. This is all good stuff.
I appreciate it.
Final thought, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin win someone $1 million. And I found one mention of a Durham Smythe injury for Mike McDaniel, but he said Durham Smythe is quote fine. Quote fine.
All right. Peter.
If we're doing Millie Maker takes, Sean Payton comes to his senses. Marvin Mims and DJ Moore both in the winning Millie Maker lineup.
Boom.
Wow. All right. Special thanks to Underdog for hooking us up with these tickets. It's a fun thought experiment. Even earlier on this week, as far as who you like, who you don't like, I drafted Russ, Pollard, Javonte, Alave, Debo, and then Higbee there as my tight end. Some might say Higbee was an auto draft, but you cannot prove that. So,
was my thing that you would be possible to draft a team and host at the same time?
You got it. You got it. So thanks to Underdog Live Final in Miami
Skip S with a Hall of Fame comment here. Can we producer Sosa, can we get this pulled up? Every week, I think there's no way the show can possibly get better. Every week, I'm right.
So Underdog with the Dog Bowl, and my final thought would be, speaking of the dog, the big dog, shout out to Evan Silva. We love you, Evan. Gonna drink some water for you. Hope you get to feeling better, bud. And this week, it's going to be the Bears in honor of Silva and the three little bears that the stacks that he used to do back in the day here on the Swolecast. So love you, Silva. Get better quick so we can continue making fun of you. And on that, we will see everyone later. Have a great week 4. This has been the Swolecast on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.